Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, I want to do a couple things here while we hook up with Gary D'Amato. It's interesting to me that there was even a slight consideration of actually going to play the Ryder Cup this year for a number of reasons, most of them obvious, but one of the ones is the no fans thing. And there was actually some serious discussion about going ahead and playing it without any fans. If you've watched any Ryder Cups at all, especially in the last 15 years, you know that this competition is driven by the fans. They can sometimes lean toward unruly, you know, nice kind of way. You know, you think back to 1999 when the U.S. came back from a large deficit. Justin Leonard made a long putt that changed the face of a match, and that changed the face of the Ryder Cup. It's the same on this side of the ocean and that side. The U.S. guys, it took a little while for this younger group of guys to get used to that because, you know, under normal circumstances, there are fans at regular tour events, majors. But the fan participation in this event is unlike anything else. They are loud. They are boisterous. They are out of control sometimes. They do say and yell the darndest things sometimes. As I try to be humorous about that, they can be downright nasty. But that's what has fueled this thing to become, you know, a must-see event if you're a golfer. And the guy who is sitting up in Wisconsin waiting for the Ryder Cup, but hopefully he's not waiting too long because it's not going to happen this year, is my friend Gary D'Amato from Wisconsin Golf. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
We are fine down here in the great Midwest. I guess that's where we are. So what's it like in Wisconsin, and what has it been like this summer once the word came out that the Ryder Cup was not going to be played this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was, of course, initial disappointment, but not unexpected considering all the dominoes that fell, you know, from COVID and the pandemic. As we saw things being canceled left and right and postponed, I think even, you know, long before they announced the Ryder Cup was going to be postponed until next year, I think everyone expected it to happen. So disappointment, but it wasn't like a shock to the system or anything like that. I think everyone knew it was coming.
So when did the postponement announcement come out?
I think it was in, I'm trying to remember now.
Me too.
I think it was in June.
That's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
By that point, how much infrastructure work had been done?
Yeah, that's a good question. They kept pushing off the start of infrastructure work as they were waiting to find out, you know, what was going to happen. And so I think it was supposed to start in May originally, and then it was, you know, they pushed it off into June. And actually, it had not started when the announcement was made. That probably was a good thing because, you know, the infrastructure, I don't think people realize just how much goes into building that build-out for a Ryder Cup or a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship. You know, they have to basically build a temporary city with
sure.
Corporate stuff and wiring and cabling and getting all the, you know, heating and air conditioning and all the tents. And it's a massive undertaking. And so it had not started when the announcement was made. And that's sort of how we knew it was coming because, you know, they kept pushing off the infrastructure build-out, and then it got to the point of no return where it was actually too late to start. And so at that point, we knew it was going to be postponed.
I wonder if, and I don't know this, obviously, that's why I'm asking, I wonder if it would have been a better thing for next year's Ryder Cup if there had been some of that work started. Or will it be better just to start it fresh next year?
Yeah, well, actually what they had done was, you know, if people are familiar a little bit with Whistling Straits from seeing it on TV, you know, for the PGA championships that have been held there, you know that it's pretty dramatic piece of ground. I mean, it wasn't always that way. It was flat as a pancake until Pete Dye got a hold of it. But there's all these mounds and moguls and sand dunes, and a lot of those had been sort of stripped away and gravel beds had been installed.
Oh.
And, yeah, and then they just build the tents right over these gravel beds, the chalet stuff. So that's still there. What they did was they just put the mounds back on top of the gravel beds, and now all they have to do next year, hopefully if we have a Ryder Cup next year, is just go back in and strip those mounds away again, you know, with bulldozers, and the gravel beds will be there. So they do have some, they do have a start on it. It's just, it still will be a lot of work, obviously, to put in a tent city, but they do have a start in the form of gravel beds under where all the structures will be.
Gary D'Amato from Wisconsin Golf is joining me this morning on The Fan. Did I understand our communication correctly that you were out there at Whistling Straits yesterday?
I was out there a few days ago. We went into, you know, I work for a, I write for a website called Wisconsin.golf. And we wanted to do a story on, you know, hey, this would have been Ryder Cup week. What's it like up at Whistling Straits? So I went up there, I think it was on Tuesday, and played 18 holes. Just got paired up with three people. And it was a glorious day. The sun was out. It was, temperature hit the 70s, and it's actually been like that all week at Whistling Straits. It's been perfect weather, so the Ryder Cup, it would have been an ideal week for the Ryder Cup. And as you guys know, you know, at this time late in September in Wisconsin, we can get almost anything short of snow. So, you know, I keep thinking we got this great weather week this year, and next year we're probably going to have 55 and rain because that's just the way it works, you know. But hopefully we can come back next year at this time of year and have great weather again.
Well, and isn't it funny, not ha-ha funny, but ironic that, you know, we can't even talk in a concrete way about the Ryder Cup being played next year. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantees.
No, there certainly aren't. The way this pandemic is going, I mean, we keep seeing the surges, and it's just, it's not going to go away. Let's put it that way.
No.
And we have to see how we, you know, how we get a handle on it, how many people are, you know, become immune, the herd immunity thing. And I mean, there's so many unanswered questions, and you're right. There is no guarantee it will be held next year, and it has to be held with fans. I think everyone agrees that the Ryder Cup, you know, has become in large part about the fans and about the fan experience. So if we can't have fans at a Ryder Cup, there's almost no sense in holding it. And, you know, the PGA of America has said if it's not held next year, then Whistling Straits just will lose its place in the rotation and probably, you know, who knows if it would ever come back. But, yeah, there's a long way to go, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with the whole pandemic.
Boy, that would be a kick in the pocketbook for Whistling Straits and the surrounding area, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're talking, you know, the estimate is $135 million economic impact to the area and the state. That's an enormous economic impact for a, you know, one-week event, obviously. And, you know, Kohler does fine. I mean, they make a lot of money. They have, you know, four courses and lots of retail golf, and, you know, people pay $500 to play Whistling Straits. So it's not big, like they'd be paupers, but it would certainly be an infusion of cash, not only for Kohler Company, but for the entire Sheboygan area and the state of Wisconsin.
So how was the course?
The course is magnificent. You know, it certainly wasn't in the kind of condition you would find it in for a Ryder Cup. In other words, you know, the fairways for a Ryder Cup would have been firmer and faster. The greens would have been firmer and faster. The rough almost certainly would have been longer. But that course is just an amazing place. It was so much fun to play. And I played with a guy who worked at Muirfield Village, actually, in food and beverage at Muirfield Village, and a couple good players. And, yeah, it was we had a great time. It's a wonderful golf course.
Well, Gary, I appreciate you getting up early in the morning to come on with me. Always enjoy our chats. We'll stay in touch and get some updates from you as we go along.
Sure, anytime. Glad to come on.
All right, that's Gary D'Amato from Wisconsin.golf.